In a galaxy far, far away, there has been an awakening in the Force. A new entity rising out of the shadows to be our only hope, and the Star Wars Destiny website that I have been looking for. Top Deck TCG. This place is the bright center of the universe for all your gaming needs. Top Deck TCG has everything that is Star Wars Destiny. Use the promo code REBEL when checking out to receive 10% off your entire order. Now, that's a deal even the Hutts can get behind.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hey, this is Bobby Sapphire from the Hyperloops, and you're listening to I Rebel, a Star Wars Destiny podcast.
Forgery of Imperial documents. Possession of stolen property. Aggravated assault.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso. We have a mission for you.
I want to help.
Good.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
Every day they grow stronger.
There isn't much time.
I rebel.
Welcome everyone to I Rebel. I am Jedi Geek Girl, and joining me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Sarah.
Hi, Jedi Geek Girl.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very good today. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. I am recovering. I got my coffee. We have a wonderful guest, and I am so excited to jump in. So we are going to forego our usual introductions and get right into our conversation with our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to introduce the one, the only, my favorite guest. He is the bad boy of Star Wars Destiny, ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Sapphire.
Hey, can I just let you know that I am not the one and only? There is another Bobby Sapphire. He's like a Buffalo, New York backyard wrestler.
Oh, wow. That's right up my alley with wrestling.
Yeah, we found each other on Twitter one time. It was really weird. So I wish I was the one and the only, but I'm not.
Can I ask what's the bad boy of Star Wars Destiny about? What have I missed?
I think it just stems from me on camera swearing at somebody at World. Is the main thing. I just get really intense really quick. It's my New England, Massachusetts temperament.
Okay.
I guess it just comes with in the community. The Hyperloops are like a group of people that are popular to dislike, even though they know what they're doing. I guess that's where the bad boy comes from.
Oh, I can't believe that.
I think it's just a running joke at this point, because I swore one time that people think I'm a maniac.
I think it's adorable because, you know, you have that reputation and then you stream and you have your little one with you. I just think it's adorable.
Yeah, I'm just a big softie.
All right, so without further ado, let's get right into it and kick this off with how your week has been in Star Wars Destiny, starting with Bobby Sapphire.
So I haven't played a ton this week. I did help my teammates sort of get ready for their regionals. I played maybe a couple games on TTS, but a lot of theorizing as to what was going to be good this weekend. I wrote my tournament report for my regional. I did my weekly digest where I kind of round up all the goings on in the content creator community. And yeah, then I watched the heck out of the regionals yesterday. There were like 5 streams going on. It was awesome. So I did a lot more watching and thinking than I did actually playing.
I do have a question before we move on to Sarah's response. Have you thought about perhaps doing like an audio, like 5-10 minute update, weekly update, kind of like what somebody's doing in the Keyforge community whenever news breaks? Because I really love what you're doing with the weekly roundup articles. I think that is something that is neat to have and just a thing to think about.
Oh, sort of like almost like a 5-minute YouTube news show?
Yeah, exactly. Or you can pop it up on your podcast feed too, or create a podcast feed.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a pretty interesting suggestion. I would say that a lot of my work gets done in about the 20 minutes before class starts, like when I'm about to teach. But I could give it a shot. I could try and work it into my life.
And sir, how has your week been in Star Wars Destiny?
It's been pretty quiet, actually. I decided to take a little bit of a breather after regionals the weekend before. So apart from just attending my local meetup on Thursday, I've tried to sort of take a bit of a break from it. I haven't been reading too many articles I did catch a bit of streaming yesterday, but this weekend I've been catching up on doing some Destiny tokens and Keyforge stuff. So I've had a little bit of a breather from it, to be honest.
Your new Destiny tokens look great. You're talking about the black and white ones?
Yeah, exactly. So we've had a few orders for those, constantly catching up on Keyforge orders every week. So just been mostly been doing that. So sort of Destiny's taken a bit more of a backstep this week for me.
I love the black and white designs myself as well. I saw them like a day or two ago. So great job on that, for sure.
Yeah, we've really only actually done them because we got asked to do them. I'm personally a fan of the colours. I like the fact you can differentiate between 1 damage to 5 damage. But people were asking for them, so we thought we'd do them.
I love all of Sarah's work. When she joined the Hyperloops Discord, the first thing I said was that I was a big fan, and she kind of like feigned ignorance there, which offended me. But I kept cool, because I just think that your tokens are... I think that your tokens are the best Destiny tokens you can get.
Yeah, it's always interesting whenever I go to sort of tournaments or events just to see, like, the opponent just gets them out in front of me, has no clue. And it always just makes me smile because I've actually gotten to a stage now, if they get out the cardboard ones, I'm thinking, like, why are you still using those? But yeah, I see them all the time. So yeah, it's great.
You know, I am the same way. When I see people sit across from me with the I Rebel tokens as well as the I Rebel custom cards and swag, it just blows me away that somebody's using something that you create, and not only using it, but you see it more often than you would expect.
Yeah, it gives you that like little warm, fuzzy feeling, I suppose.
Yeah, or in Bobby Sapphire's case, it gives him a boost of an ego.
For sure.
For you, it's probably more when someone gets out one of your decks that you sort of put forward.
Yeah, sometimes that feels good. I do appreciate when they have the Hyperloops tokens like on streams and stuff. But I do love when people are willing to pilot a deck. I think it just like lends itself to, you know, the work that we put in when people are willing to like trust us and run our decks. I didn't see any Qui-Gon Aelas on the streams yesterday, but a bunch of people were playing my teammate, Honestly Sarcastic, Snoke, Rebel Trader, Sienna deck. And like, even though that's not my deck, it just sometimes when you make content, and I'm sure you guys have felt this as well, it's just like you wonder, does anyone care? Does anyone actually want this? So when we do come up with decks and people do play them, yeah, it can be flattering. And it just makes what we do sort of worthwhile.
So how's your week been in Star Wars Destiny, Amanda?
My week has been pretty lax. Obviously, I don't have a lot of time to play Star Wars Destiny. But throughout the week, I was constantly thinking about what I was doing for regionals. Because obviously, my mind was still on Star Wars Destiny. But honestly, I have been distracted by Star Wars CGG. I just can't stop getting it out of my head because that is where I am right now. And I'm just so addicted that while I am thinking about Star Wars Destiny, honestly, I am thinking about the Star Wars CCG. So
I was watching some Star Wars CCG yesterday. There's a big, the Endor Grand Prix in the Pacific Northwest is this weekend. It's all virtual cards and stuff, but one of my teammates flew out and they had the stream. So I was watching that while I was watching Destiny. And I'm wearing a Star Wars CCG shirt right now.
I heard about that, but I want to take my time. I don't want to be overwhelmed, so I want to take things one at a time and not just jump in, because otherwise I will get overwhelmed. That is why I don't like playing modern open world RPGs, because I get overwhelmed, where I am okay with Merwin, but not so much like Oblivion, and I forget the other one, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's move into how your week has been in Star Wars, of course starting with Bobby Sapphire.
Star Wars wise, I haven't had too big of a Star Wars week. It's kind of more of a Star Trek week for me, so I'll try not to get off topic. But the one thing I did do was introduce my daughter to some, have you seen the Women of Star Wars book and postcards that they made?
Oh my God, I love it to death. Have you seen it, sir?
I have seen it on the bookshelf, but I haven't dived into it at all.
Yeah, it's pretty great. My daughter is young. She's 4, so she doesn't fully get it. But I also got her like a pack of Star Wars underwear. And like, so we're learning about Rey a little bit this week. So that was cool. But other than that, I didn't do a ton Star Wars wise. Just a little bit of the Destiny, a little bit of Star Wars CCG, helping my friend get ready for his event. And a little female education, women education of the Star Wars universe for my daughter.
Now, I don't want to get too off topic, but that is something I noticed myself going into a store, that you can do that. You can pick up underwear for a little girl that for Star Wars that you couldn't before. And that's just awesome that all this merchandise is now there that wasn't there before.
Yeah, I think that's like just how widespread Star Wars is. And like, that's sort of why I'm a little off Star Wars in general right now. It's just like, it's everywhere. And I used to really pride myself on knowing everything and reading everything. But now there's just so much that I just don't have the time to follow it all. But I do enjoy getting my daughter, like I got her some sheets and, you know, I'll pick stuff up, clothes and whatnot when I can. But other than that, yeah, it is nice to be able to have that back in our lives. Because I think for a long time, Star Wars was so out of the mainstream that, you know, our fandom was just peripheral.
And talking about slightly obscure Star Wars merchandise, just before Force Awakens, I remember seeing some like in the supermarket, like some Satsumas, and they just had BB-8 labels all over them with Star Wars. It was like, really?
What's a Satsuma?
That's like a small orange.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen that grow, like, you know, you can get asparagus, Star Wars asparagus or whatever. But yeah, I'd never heard of that Satsuma. All right, I'm going to add it to the list. I did go up to my attic and get my limited edition Star Wars Pez because my daughter was crying that she didn't have a Pez dispenser for her Pez. So I ripped open the limited edition glow-in-the-dark Star Wars Pez dispensers that I had stored in my attic years ago.
I just have to say that is awesome. You're going to have to share that story with her. And yeah, that's so awesome. That's one of those adorable dad stories that's awesome.
It's like, I hope this isn't worth anything. Rip.
So how about you, sir? How was your week in Star Wars?
Again, pretty quiet. I picked up, I've started dangerously collecting those pop vinyl figures. Yeah, it's starting to get down a slippery slope now. So I've picked up a new like Anakin, which is like a special edition version of him. And I now have 6 Star Wars ones, I think. And it's getting to that stage where I need to rein it back in before it becomes more than it should be.
I know exactly how that is. I have an addictive personality. So while I do have some of them, I don't go out of my way to buy them unless they're like Ahsoka. Otherwise, I usually get them through winning them or if they are on sale. Or if I want to treat myself, otherwise my wall and room would be full of them and I can't afford that. So I have to be very careful. But yeah, those are fun to collect for sure.
Yeah, there's absolute loads of them now. So you really have to keep a check on it.
As always, my week has been busy reading. I finished Courtship of Princess Leia and Pirate's Price. And I just started a book in the Young Jedi Knight. But I don't want to talk about books in this episode because, full disclosure, I am relaxing today. Usually I am working on stuff related to Ira Bell, but I am pretty much caught up for the most part, and I don't edit this until later. So I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to do something that I'm sure that will make a lot of our listeners and a lot of people in the community proud. And I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch, if I can get my VCR working, the unspecial edition VHSs, the 95 THX versions. And I haven't watched those in over, oh my god, maybe 18 years, maybe almost 20. So I'm excited because, you know, that's my childhood. I used to watch those over and over and over again. Those are the ones with the interviews in front of them. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I've actually seen those. So that sounds really good.
I recommend like picking them up. You can pick them up like on a DVD just so you can like get a idea of what Star Wars was at one point in time. That's why I like reading through the legends, because you get in your head like, hey, this was what Star Wars was at this point in time, because that is what I really love about Star Wars is Star Wars evolves and it changes. And like Star Wars, when the first film came out, it's different than Star Wars in the 80s. It's different than Star Wars in the early 90s and so on and so on and so on. And when you consume Star Wars from something at that point in time, it gives you an insight into like where Star Wars came from and what Star Wars was / is.
Yeah, I like it. I like the point of view.
Looking for a way to get creative with your favorite tabletop game? Are you hoping to make your next Star Wars Destiny match one you'll remember? Hi, this is Parker of Parker Simpson Artwork, and I love helping other players get more from their Star Wars Destiny experience with my custom artwork character cards. Using an alternate layout and my own original illustrations, these cards add a unique layer to help take your games to the next level. I've been a longtime fan of Ira Bell, and I'm excited to announce an exclusive offer for their followers. Every Patreon will be receiving limited run copies of full art versions of Jyn Erso, Daring Infiltrator, and Cassian Andor, Rebellion Operative. Not a Patreon? No problem. You still have a chance to get your own set to sleeve up. We're running a special giveaway with the chance to win copies of these exclusive cards, and also a playmat featuring these rebellious partners. Check out our Facebook pages for more details. You don't want to miss this. Jin and Cassian not your favorite characters? No problem. Find all of my available custom artwork cards on topdecktcg.com or on my Facebook page, Parker Simpson Artwork. And while you're there, check out my portfolio albums, ranging from illustration, shirt design, logo work, and more. I'm always available for commission jobs, whether it's prize support for a large-scale event or as simple as a t-shirt design for your local group. Thank you to all my longtime supporters, and good to meet you, new friends. Back to you, Jedi Geek Girl.
Alright, so moving into what we're here to talk about, Star Wars Destiny, I would like to kick off this conversation about the latest news that came out regarding Worlds, and Star Wars Worlds to be more specific. Have you guys had a chance to look over this latest piece of news, and what do you think about Worlds moving to Quarter 4?
I've taken a look. I think it's the biggest news we've received from FFG in a long time. I think it's even bigger than, you know, for those of us who are competitive, a set release. And while I do appreciate moving it to Quarter 4, I think it makes a lot of sense for it to follow the convention season. It's really short notice. I was really looking forward to going to Worlds in May, sort of planning for it. I think a lot of people were. And all it does is sort of create this giant gap where once these regionals end, there's really nothing going on in Destiny until Gen Con, which is August. That's really far away. You know, people might get excited for GQs, but I don't think people travel that much for GQs.
Yeah, I don't travel for GQs myself. The only one I go to is Adepticon, and we'll be at Adepticon, plug. But outside of that, I just can't really afford to go to a GQ where Worlds, it is such an experience. It's just not about the competitive event, even though a lot of us are going for the competitive experience. It's about the community. It's about the environment. It's about, for me, it's about going to, because I go to FFG like every month or whatever. It's local for me, but it's just something about going to FFG at Worlds that is so unique that means a lot more than just the competitive tournament. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
No, I think it's the thing that people gear their year towards. So I would understand why it has a certain mystique, even for a Minnesota local.
How about you, Sarah? What are your thoughts on this?
So for me, I'm just happy that we have an idea of dates because, you know, if it was going to be in May, the logistics of me getting flights, booking hotels, etc., was getting pretty near to being out of the question. So for me, I'm just happy that it's, you know, we've got some sort of idea when it's going to happen. I've never been to Worlds before, so I didn't have this conception of it being in May and it being this event. So for me, it's just been good news for me, really. In terms of the schedule over here, we've got Galactic Qualifiers mid-April, which would only been the second one ever hosted here. So for me, that's quite new and exciting. And then I think we have our Nationals end of May. So there's really not a huge amount of downtime, as it sounds like it is for you guys. So end of the year is perfectly fine with me, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that sounds exciting, and like probably are being selfish just because there's so much Destiny in America over the course of the year. And then obviously, like, you haven't had GQs over there, and you get to experience that, which is pretty awesome. So that's great for the international communities, you know, especially with the GQ system and like all the spot glosses have been neglected thus far.
Yeah, we all got super excited to get hold of those because we've only seen them on the internet and people spending silly money trying to import them over. So it's new and fresh for us, so we're happy.
I know it is a little ways out, but do you think you are going to try to make it out for Worlds? Because I have to say it is worth it, and I think it would be exciting if you could, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my seat reserved from top fouring at Euros, so I would love to come as long as it sort of have to see it costs, and I'd like my partner to be able to come, so we'll have to see about how we can, you know, hopefully we can get him a ticket. But yeah, I'd love to come, so we just have to wait till final dates and see if I can make it happen.
My thought on the news is I am excited that we got news, and at least as it pertains to the event taking place in Quarter 4, it's quite a far in advance. It's not like 2 or 3 months like, hey, what's going on with Worlds? It's like we know what's going on. That is nice. I am a little bit disappointed because I'm so used to Worlds in May. I like that May the 4th, and I kind of got used to it for the last couple of years. I also like the weather. I like being able to like wear skirts and not worry about the cold because I absolutely despise the cold. But with how November has been the last couple of years in Minnesota, I think it's going to be okay, but I also look at it as a competitive player, and to me, Worlds in quarter four after Continental Nationals makes sense. It being before Regionals still doesn't fit right with me, but I think where it will end up being in November, quarter four, first or second weekend, I think that makes sense from a competitive player track, because I have experience with Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon in their seasonal track, and their competitive scene, it always escalated. However, with Star Wars Destiny, it was like Regionals, Galactic Qualifier, Worlds, Store, Gen Con, North American Championship, then Nationals, then the cycle competes, and it always seemed kind of weird. I think you should have a competitive season where you escalate as you go.
Yeah, I think that's asking a lot from a company that, like, I don't know, can't even find prizes to give away, you know?
No, but it looked like with their changing of the OP, maybe it will be a little bit more sequenced.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'll take whatever it is. I'm not going to over. You know what I mean? That's my point of view right now. It's just sort of like what Sarah said. It's just as long as we got a date, I'll deal with it. But in a perfect world, I think you're right. If it escalated like that, I think it would be really interesting.
I agree. I am looking forward to Worlds, and I know a lot of people, it will, at this point in time, still be open to everybody, which I really like. I do like the idea of it being limited to, like, the best players, but I do think that having a aspect to it that is open to the public is relevant to the community atmosphere, because I feel like, no, you've been to Worlds events, Bobby Sapphire. If you go to a Worlds event that is closed off and you have to qualify for, while you still get a community experience, it's a lot smaller, and it kind of like close off some people who would not be there otherwise. That enriches the experience. Like, for example, I'm pretty sure, hypothetically here, Double Blanks would never make a trip if it wasn't open. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. I do like the inclusive nature. The thing is, there's just so many regionals and qualification seats that it's hard to give an added benefit to sort of give some sort of exclusivity to the people who do win a regional or 6-0 a Galactic Qualifier. But I think a world championship should be just as big as possible. I know with like the old Star Wars CCG, there was a day one, and that was anyone who didn't qualify had to play, and then the top percentage got moved into day two, and then everyone who had qualified was just in day two. And I think that that's an interesting format. But again, I'm happy with any way to let everyone play. And I'm not just saying that selfishly because I'm the only member of my team that doesn't have a reserve seat right now.
Which is absolutely shocking.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Can't qualify if you never win tournaments, right?
Exactly. All right, so for our main segment, I want to talk about a regional experience because Bobby Sapphire, you have been to a regional last weekend. Sarah, you have been as well. And I attended a regional myself. So I think we have a lot to talk about, and I want to start off with where we played, what we ran, and how did we do, starting with Bobby Sapphire.
So I played at the Connecticut Regional, which was last Saturday, at Tabletop Shop in Connecticut. I can't remember the name of the town off the top of my head, but it's a great store. They can fit 150 people. Last year we had 100. This year we had 64, 68, somewhere around there. And I played Qui-Gon Jinn, Ayla, Sakura with Bitter Rivalry, and I went 7-0 in Swiss. And I got knocked out of the top eight to the eventual winner, Chris Monroe, who was on Vader Greedo. It was a matchup that going into the day, I thought I would be okay against. And I was 2-0 in Swiss, but then got 2-0'd myself in the top cut.
So I played exactly the same. So Qui-Gon Ayla with Bitter Rivalry. So I was at Pool in the southwest of England. It was quite a smallish regional. We had 28, I think, but that's kind of fair, I think, for outside the US.
And I played at FFG Game Center, of course, in Minnesota. I ran Vader Greedo. I was the Dirty Vader player. And I topped 8 with a 6-2 performance in Swiss. And I got 0-2 in top cut against Battle Droid, Snoke, Bazine. So that was an interesting deck to play against. So I am happy with my performance and I couldn't ask for more. But diving into a little bit of the decks that we ran, why did we run what we ran, and did you add any spice to it? If you did, what was it?
So one of the things that I had written about a couple weeks ago was just how good I think Ayla was. So one of the reasons why I wanted to run an Ayla deck was to sort of lend some credibility to what I write, that I'm not just like spewing things off the top of my head. So I wanted to prove that I thought Ayla was good, so I ran her with Qui-Gon Jinn in bitter rivalry. I tried solidarity, but it didn't really work out. I think bitter is pretty spicy in itself, but I would say the spiciest cards I put in my deck were, well, first of all, I ran Jedi Robes, which is like one of my favorites. Even when I used to play Rey Ayla, I had the Jedi Robes in there, even though people hated it. But I ran Jedi Robes and I ran Your Eyes Can Deceive You, which is the one cost support that you play. If you roll a shield, you can turn a die to any side, an opponent's die to any side. I thought that would be really good against Vader. They roll out and then I can respond by rolling out Qui-Gon and blanking one of those and just sort of going with the soft mitigation theme of the deck. And then I also ran You Were My Friend, which is an excellent event that can either turn a character die, so I could spend one to turn a Vader die to a blank, or if I have more blue cards on table than my opponent, I can remove a die, a character die, and because Bitter Rivalry stays on table, I haven't been in a situation where I didn't have more blue cards than my opponent. And then it's also good for turning my own character die, you know, after a claim or off a force speed special.
I went with the same deck. Bobby was a bit of a savior to me, actually, because I'd been, as I spoke on the last episode, I'd been faffing about what to play for about 4 or 5 weeks. And I think I said I was going to play a vehicle deck. I took that to my local like the following day after we recorded and just got absolutely trounced with it. So I was like, okay, I'm not doing that. And then I saw on the Hyperloops Discord that Bobby was talking about Ayla and Qui-Gon. And I thought, yay, I like Blue Hero. And I play Blue Hero quite a lot. So I sort of jumped on that as well. I went 3-3 with it. I'd only picked it up a few days before, so I wasn't expecting the world from it. I had quite a few one-offs on it, actually, because I just couldn't decide what to play. So I had sort of become one. You can remove a Qui-Gon sort of 2-shield and then increase the value of a melee for a bit of burst from hand. And I also had a 1 heightened awareness in it. I thought it was quite expensive for that deck, but I just loved the feeling of just being able to just confuse your opponent and just get that burst from hand.
I really love that deck. I love seeing that you guys both took it to your regional events. It is a deck that I hope grows in development and we see more of. There's just something about that deck that you are rooting for. And you said, Sarah, that you got the inspiration from the Hyperloops Discord channel. Did you guys run a fairly similar list or did you talk about it or did you just be like, okay, this is what we're running and it was just kind of coincidence, but kind of not, if that makes any sense.
We had a brief chat about it, but Sarah, was your regional the same weekend as mine?
Yeah, but it was the Sunday.
Okay, so did you see my list beforehand? Because one of the reasons I didn't post the list right before is just because all of the New York and New Jersey guys are in there. I didn't want them to know my whole mitigation package, but I would have happily sent it to you. But it definitely sounds like we had a couple differences. Like I had tried Become One and I ended up just cutting all of the things that added to my dice. Like Heightened Awareness, Become One, Ataru Strike. I just had cut all that stuff to be a more solid blue hero sticks deck. So it sounded like we had at least some differences.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you did that. And actually, I've revised the deck since and I've cut a few of those out. But I just like those cards that just give you that sort of something from hand. I think you probably went with the more sensible, safe options. Whereas I just kind of want to try the cool stuff.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just, you know, it's hard to, you know, when you can get them off, they hit so hard. And I'm sure you had some awesome Become One plays in your testing and probably your regional.
Yeah, the regional was actually quite difficult to get a feeling for the cards because I got paired against, so I had 2 Vader Greedos and 3 matches were against Mill. So I didn't really feel like I got a good run out with like testing the cards and being able to actually see if they were useful or not from my regionals experience at least.
Yeah, Mill's always so tough to get a gauge on, like what your cards are doing, because the ones you do get to play with are just like whatever happened to be in your hand when you draw it, and you're just like, all right, well, I hope this one works. And I found just through testing that Jedi Robes ended up being the best possible card for me against Mill because of the focus sides, and with Qui-Gon's shields, which he'll always have in that matchup, giving the deck a 2 focus was really great.
So do you look to overwrite that straight away? Are you just giving it a sort of a 1 turn try out, or do you keep it?
It really depends. When I do the Jedi Robes, like obviously you want it turn 1, you want to be able to like maximize his shields. But once he has 3 shields on him, those focus sides become 2 focuses. So I don't really care about getting rid of them if I can use, and like it also has 2 resource sides, albeit one of them is modified. So if I can use that to ramp or fix my dice, then I'll absolutely just leave the robes out. If there's a situation where my only other weapon is a Shoto and I can't afford a 3rd upgrade, I might overwrite it, but for the most part, I leave the robes out there just because those focuses are so great.
Yeah, I didn't have Jedi robes in mind. That was partly just due to lack of time. It's not a card I've played with a lot, so I just sort of left it out and just went straight weapons. But it sounds very interesting about just making sure you overwrite at the right time. Maybe don't hang on to it for too long to make sure you're not sort of kicking yourself with a lack of damage or the lack of melee base sides.
I think the focus just make up for it, because when you have a two focus, like think of all the decks that have like a double focus side and two focus, and how much max damage you can make with that, that the focus sort of makes up for the fact that it's not actual damage, because you're turning both Qui-Gon dice to three melee each. So you're sort of maximizing that way.
Did you find that you could keep Qui-Gon shields on him a lot, or?
Yeah, I had no problem resolving his shields on him, his two shield side, and just giving him two shields. I know some people are hesitant because it doesn't feel like great value, but how many other characters have a two shield side? You know, like it's pretty good. Ideally, you know, they're going for Ayla, and those two shield sides are actually three shield sides. But I didn't have an issue just because I was not hesitant about resolving those shields, because it just buffs him both in dice and it keeps him alive longer. And I felt like the longer the game went, the better situation I was going to be in, because every turn that goes by that he's very healthy, I get to play another upgrade and I get to hit them even harder.
Yeah, the one thing I was struggled with a little bit was knowing if I should take. So say if he didn't have shields on him yet, if I rolled a two shield and some melee, should I risk that extra action to take the two shields to pump up his melee sides, but then risk being mitigated? That seemed to be something I had to sort of really kind of trying to weigh up the pros and cons to do or not.
Yeah, well, generally, if you have the opportunity to resolve the melee, it's because they didn't mitigate it already. They could be baiting you. One of the parts of the game is figure out if people are scheming or not. But a lot of the times I would just resolve the two. And what I wanted to do was resolve the shields last so that I would have them going into the next turn.
Okay.
You mentioned about the mill matchup, Bobby. I want to touch upon that, because when I was building my deck and I was thinking about what to add to it to help that matchup, I was thinking about how to get around the soft mitigation that deck sometimes uses, where it flips the Vader die with Force Jump, Beguile, and all these other cards. And I was thinking, and I thought about a card that Jonathan Magnuson is famous for, and that is Swiftness. So I put two Swiftness into my deck, as well as two Force Strikes and two Clash to help that soft mitigation. It doesn't feel good spending that many resources to change a die, but when your damage counts, it's a way to get around that. And I was actually surprised how well that spice worked out, because in some scenarios, it came out of nowhere. Another thing that I really like about it is it goes good with Force Speed, which I also ran in my deck. I made a quick Vader to try to get around that soft mitigation, because that's one of the ways you control Vader. Unless you play, you know, It Will All Be Mine. But I felt like it worked for the most part. I think I would have to play it a little bit more, because it's all about figuring out. It's like a chess match. Even though Vader is like really simple to play, you want to find that careful balance of at what point am I sacrificing the consistency of my deck to counter something that might counter mine, when I might be better off playing towards my strategy.
No, I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's tough to find the balance, and like that's why we playtest, right? That's why we playtest so much. It's to sort of find that balance. You know, do I need to go all in on these Swiftness plays, or is Force Strike enough? I think people are really relying on Force Jump right now and other soft mitigation, and they think that, oh, I'm going to blank this and I'm going to get so far ahead. So I really like your meta call to pack Force Strikes and Clashes, just to punish people for thinking that Force Jump is enough to contain the terror that is Vader.
I also appreciate Force Strike and Clash, because if you use Force Speed, you can change one of Vader's die or Vader's lightsaber or Maul's lightsaber, and that one resource turns into 8 damage or 7 damage, which was crazy because it came out of nowhere for some people, and it's like, oh, wow. I know that my top 8 opponent looked at my deck list and he was like, I'm worried about those Swiftness plays, but I never really drew them against him. But yeah, it's spicy. I still need a little bit more experience with it to try to figure out what I really feel about them. But honestly, I love the card since it came out, you know?
Yeah, it's always looking for a spot. I hope you only played one Force Strike, though, at the FFG Center. You can't play two.
Shots fired. No, I ran two.
Daniel!
Huge shout out. Shout out to Daniel. All right. So moving on to the next question here. I would like to talk about our experience at our event, because we attended, obviously, three different locations. How was the event that you attended? Like, how was the store? How was the people? How was the environment?
Yeah, I love the store. I wish I lived closer to the store, because they have a great deal just for signing up. If you buy $25 in store credit, you get to the event for free. So the event would normally cost $15, and if you just pay the $10 extra, it's just all store credit. So like, I bought some X-Wing ships, which like I left out of my week in Star Wars. Like, I obviously played X-Wing because I love X-Wing, and that's what I collect. So I thought that was great. The Northeast community is outstanding. Golden Dice were there. Arrowbrook Gaming were there. You know, the contingent from New York City, there are people who came, you know, Manton was there. There's just so many good players in the Northeast. So we all got to come together and sort of butt heads, which was really great. And then to see, you know, a number of content creators make the top eight. And just like good players, they made for a really stacked top eight, which I really liked. And there weren't any additional prizes. I think like everyone got a pack maybe or anything or something like that. But like I said, the store really hooks people up via the store credit deal. And yeah, other than that, it was great. We, me and Joe, we got some mofongos after the event, some Puerto Rican food that they take me to every year. So yeah, all in all, I had a blast. Connecticut, easily my favorite spot to go to a regional.
Yeah, so mine was probably the furthest one that I will go to. It was sort of the other side. So I'm in the southeast, it's in the southwest. It took probably about 2.5 hours to get there. We stayed over the night before just because it was an early start and just wanted to be fresh for it. So it was as I've mentioned, it's quite a relatively small one. We had 28 people. So the store itself, obviously I hadn't been there before because it's not local to me, but it's a very sort of very much wargaming kind of store. They had very, very deep tables, which made it quite difficult for the Jin Cassian players to have to keep like reaching across. Most people actually stood up and you could literally have about 4 or 5 mats between you. So that was interesting. The store itself, I was a little bit disappointed actually, because I don't think, I couldn't see any Destiny product there at all, or any kind of card game, TCG or anything. I think it was primarily a war gaming kind of game store. So I was a little bit disappointed to why they got the regionals, when they didn't seem to be supporting the game. There was also a few dodgy decisions from the judge. So he ruled the Jin Cassian. For the first game, he ruled that if you had less than 3 in deck, that the Jin player couldn't do the look through and discard thing, and then changed his mind after that first round, which actually could have been pinnacle in my partner's game, because he was told he couldn't do it, and they went down to a meal situation. Luckily, he won that game anyway, but if he'd have lost that just because that call was wrong, that would have been really bad. There's also an incident with hyperspace jump. So my other half had it sort of set aside, as you're supposed to, and the judge actually wondered why he'd set it aside. So that was a little bit confusing. But overall, it was run quite smoothly. Pairings were done okay, so can't complain too much. It was just a little bit suspect to me, like why a store would be given the Destiny event when clearly, you know, they hadn't been really supporting the game.
Yeah, and didn't understand the rules, which is really scary.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is this is not the first time I've heard about a store that has been like that, because there was one the week before last week that had the same thing where they don't really support the community. The TO was somebody who didn't play Destiny, and that person actually left. And Jack talked about it on the Golden Dice, and I'm going to shout out to everybody here that I can, about he had to step in to judge for the top cut. And while he is experienced in the game, it puts him in a precarious situation because he's not affiliated with the store. And it just seems like FFG could do a better job of picking these stores that are hosting the event to make sure that at least the people who are running it know what they're doing.
Yeah, not to get too off the rails, but the regional equivalent for X-Wing just came out. And the stores that are being chosen across the country are like multiple reports of people, like the one in Massachusetts that got chosen. Over the summer at a store champ, I had to play outside in 100-degree heat, and my opponent was, like, passing out. And, like, it can only hold 12 people, and you have to play at the pizza shop next door. It's just crazy, and it just doesn't seem like FFG really cares about where they assign these events that we hold so important, and they just don't care.
That is absolutely crazy. I mean, it's nice playing outside, but in 100-degree weather, yeah, no thank you.
Yeah, in a parking lot on the blacktop with the giant 3x3 black mat. I mean, my opponent was really like, I might have to go inside. I mean, there was nothing going to stop me because I'm a machine, but but I was like, yeah, you can go in if you want.
It just seems crazy to me why FFG wouldn't like support the stores that actually create a player base. I know obviously it can come down to how many people they can seat, and they've got to consider that. But, you know, just if you can give it to a store which is already helping the game and helping trying to grow a community, it just seems like a no-brainer to me to do that.
I'm with you.
My experience was a little bit better. And of course, that was at the FFG Game Center, which I really love the store. I really love what they're doing over there. I know there was a little bit of controversy online about the pricing, or I should say the bonus for entering the event. But once that gotten taken care of and everything was settled, it was a pretty relaxing experience. I was really happy with the bonus that FFG threw in. The prizes weren't the same as they were for Illinois, but honestly, that whole day, there must have been something in the milkshake that I drank because I was chill the whole day. It was like there was no stress. I was okay with losing. I was just there thinking about my deck, experiencing the game as it came, trying not to get too far ahead of myself. Minnesota has one of the best communities out there. I think California and Jersey is also in the conversation, and Florida is in the conversation when it comes to friendly environment, and Tulsa, obviously, when it comes to the conversation of friendly community. So I had people coming up telling me they really enjoyed the podcast. They really enjoyed the addition of Sarah. Shout out to you guys for listening. And it was just so wonderful because when it comes to the competitive environment, I can be quite competitive. I can get ahead of myself. And while that did happen at the end of my last round, I got a little bit disappointed. I was like, you know what? I'm chill. I went 6-0 before I lost 2, which I kind of figured I was going to do. But that is awesome. I was the top ranking Vader player, despite not playing the deck beforehand. And shout out to Elbrook Gaming for their podcast talking about the deck. I'm sure they'll talk about it again for a fifth time, or how many different times. But no, I really do enjoy it because that is what Star Wars Destiny is about. It's just about the experience. It's about simulating the thoughts. It's about the community. And yes, the pricing wasn't as fantastic as I would have liked it. It didn't matter because that is what I was there for. And honestly, I just wanted the playmat, and I'm happy with the playmat. To me, it doesn't matter that I didn't make top 4. I mean, it would have helped my credibility a little bit, but it was a wonderful day, and I couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, congrats. You crushed it. Also, Arrowbrook Gaming should definitely rename their podcast the Darth Vader Podcast.
Diving into a little bit more of the decks at your event, did you see any deck or strategy that caught your eye? Like, hey, that is interesting.
For me, really, it was just my teammate Joe's deck, the Snoke Sienna Rebel Trader deck. That was something that he cooked up basically the day before. And we played a couple like quick games, like 11 o'clock the night before, and it seemed to run really well. But obviously, part of me is always skeptical when Joe puts together like a rainbow jank deck. And part of me is like, well, Joe's an amazing player and a genius, so I'm sure he knows part of it. And we were doing a warm-up game when the pairings for round one got called. And I was really just interested to see how he would do with his own brew. And it was really solid. I would say the craziest deck that I played against was, I tweeted this picture out, but it was General Leia, one die, Rey, one die, and Wookiee Warrior, mill. 30 health. And it was a mill deck that used Nexus of Power. And I think Nexus of Power is a really underrated card because it can turn itself whenever it rolls. And he would put them on melee, and then like he was trying to hook up a big close quarters assault or set up force misdirection, which I thought was pretty interesting. And you can make some crazy fair trade plays with that as well, because you auto turn it to the resource and you just threaten fair trade, which I think is really cool. And he had that as well.
How close did he get you on mill?
I had just 4 cards in hand left.
So it got a little bit scary for you then?
It was definitely scary. People did not play around the steadfast, the 1 damage steadfast in the mid game. So I think, and this happened on stream too against Manton, where I just had to draw into my steadfast. So like I discard my whole hand and hope to draw it and then steadfast my first action to kill. And that's how I got Leia, which was pretty big, because if she had lived any longer, if he had chosen this one turn to turn the Wookiee die to a 3 and power action it, I mean, it would have been even closer. I definitely was like, yep, I'm going to lose to a 3 dice mill deck that literally doesn't play upgrades. Part of that was he played Krayt Dragonhowl, and the only way to play against Krayt Dragonhowl is to not remove your die. So that made it a little scary, but he also played Bewildered, and then obviously Qui-Gon's dice, because he has the shields, are +1. So he, in one turn, milled me for 5.
Ouch.
With double Bewildered. So between that and 4 from the Krayt Dragonhowls, I got hit hard. Luckily, I sniffed out that close quarters assault play and played my Beguile to break it up, but it was touch and go. it's that round one that you play against the craziest thing in the room. And you're just like, man, I'm going to lose this. Just like last year in Connecticut, I played Ray Ayla and I was like, all right, just dodge Kylo. And then, of course, my first round opponent was Kylo. That's it for spice on my end.
So what surprised me actually at my event was apparently Jyn Cassian was the most represented deck, which was actually really surprising because it seemed to have dropped off the radar. The deck that actually won the event was quite surprising. It was Yoda Lando with 3 planned explosions in it. So that was really spicy. I'm quite surprised how that did well in Swiss, a bit of a surprise element, but being top cut, obviously everyone would have known what you had at that point. So I'm really surprised that did well, but obviously decent player, did the business for him.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
For me, the deck that really caught my attention isn't really much of a spicy one, but it was one I really enjoyed seeing it. And of course, that is the deck that 2 members of the Destiny Council play, and that is the Worlds winner Kylo Anakin deck. It was nice playing against that. It was a fun game because while you are familiar with the deck, you don't see the deck a lot currently in this format. So it's kind of nice playing against the deck. And I found myself thinking, okay, what do I want to do in this matchup? Because you don't see a lot of it in the format. So I think for me, that would be the deck that I would send a shout out to for sure.
Yeah, those guys always bring interesting decks. So I'm not surprised there.
We are getting close on time here, so I want to speed through the rest of the part when it comes to our regionals experience. And I would like to begin this conclusion with, what was your biggest takeaway from this event going forward? And would you play the same deck that you played? And if you would, are there any changes that you would make? And if so, what would they be?
For me, my biggest takeaway is just that, I think this is echoed out through all regional season, is that you can play what you want and you can make it good and it can compete. Personally, I think if I had another regional, I would not take the Qui-Gon Ayla again. I don't think I would change anything either. I just think that I would be looking to play something that I think had a little bit higher ceiling in the top 8 and maybe just possibly something more rock solid against a 3-wide Snoke and a Vader deck and not such an uphill climb. All my games felt like battles and I would rather try and find something more broken, you know, the power in the cards and not the matchups.
For me, I'm probably going to stick with it just because I spent far too long before regional season faffing about what deck I would take. So I'm definitely going to stick with it. I kind of felt I rushed into just resolving my shields or my melee, and I missed a couple of really important close quarters assault plays, which really could have messed up my opponent and possibly changed a couple of those games that didn't quite go my way. So I think I just need to kind of just take an extra second and just consider what my options are before rushing into just wanting to do my damage. That's probably the biggest takeaway from me.
My biggest takeaway from my event would be the headspace that I was in. Like I said, when I play in a tournament, I tend to get ahead of myself, and I would like more events to be more like this past event was, where I can just enjoy the experience, think about the game, not worry about my performance, and just have a good time, because that is what we're here for. You can win Worlds, you can win Nationals, but if you don't have community, if you don't have experiences that you are enjoying, like, honestly, what's the point of it? I mean, yeah, you get achievements, yes, you get prestige, yes, you get things, but that is what it is about, social games. This is not like chess. This is a community. So my biggest takeaway is try to enhance my experiences going forward to be more like this, because honestly, I had a blast. The second part of the question, I would run Vader again because I have experience with it now, and there are some cards I want to change around. I don't want to get too far into what I'm going to change, but I will take out Meditation Chamber, and I am taking out No Good to Me Dead, I think, and maybe a couple other cards, I'm not sure. I know another shout out, Boy talked to me from the Twin Sun Cup with a couple of texts, and I might give them a try, but I'm not going to another regional, and I don't know if I'm going to play locally anytime soon. I probably will. But if I play something locally, I might play something a little bit more fun. Like Jyn Cassian's not the best deck, but it's absolutely a blast to play. So I'm just so beside myself this past weekend because it honestly was something I will remember for sure.
The fact that you did so well, if you did have another regionals coming up, it would just totally take the pressure off you, and you could just, I think it just helps you kind of relax that you've done well in one, and it just sort of relieves that pressure so you can actually enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Because I topped 16 in Illinois, I had my spot class, which honestly, that's all I really wanted. Like, I do enjoy collecting the playmats, but it's not like I was trying to achieve it. So since I already had the spot class card, I wasn't too concerned about it. And getting the playmat, while a go, wasn't a huge go up. So I was able to be like, it's okay. I don't really care because I already got my spot class and I'm not going to win. So I'm okay with how I do. And it helps the performance, that's for sure. Well, that concludes it for our conversation when it comes to regionals. I know that we have a lot more that we could talk about, but we are running a little low on time here, so I want to move into a next segment. And that will be the question that we ask every episode. With rotation coming up soon, we all have cards we want to see as a reprint from the Awakening block. What card, and I know I asked you this before, Bobby Sapphire, but what card from the Awakening block would you like to see get reprinted?
Yeah, so I was trying to rack my brain and remember what I said last time, because there's so many like broken cards in Awakenings, and like part of me with Vader out there, I can't imagine living in a world without Force Illusion. But I've also railed against that card so many times. And then I tried to think like a character, but I couldn't really think of a character that I really cared about. So I'm going to go out on a crazy limb and say I want a fully like eroded printing of Hyperspace Jump, and I want it back.
That is a fantastic card. I actually picked that card last episode, so I think we're in agreement there. How about you, Sarah?
For me, it's probably based off my mill experience at regionals, facing 3 mill decks has made me want Ancient Nightsaber to be reprinted. I'm not too fussed about the 2 hill. It's more just something to counter mill, as mill is so good now. I think it should come back. I think we need it.
Yeah, it's just a really good, solid design. Like, it's just a good card.
For me, my card would have to be Hold Up Blaster, just because it is such a staple. Like, it isn't too overpowered. It's fairly balanced. It's one that you can put in your deck, sure, but it's not one that dominates the meta. For me, it just seems like such a staple, not only in the game, but in Star Wars in general, like a Hold Up Blaster. That's like Star Wars. And so I see no problem if they were to reprint it of it being an issue, unless, you know, they reprint Sabine unnerfed.
I think it might get reprinted, but possibly take off the ambush or take off redeploy. I think the fact that it's got both makes it a little bit, maybe slightly OP compared to what they've been releasing in this block. But I agree, I would like to see it back, just maybe in a slightly different form.
I do think that it might get reprinted, and they just will cut down on the weapons that they release with ambush.
Yeah, and they've done that anyway, so I think it's got a chance. Out of all three, I think it is the most likely to be reprinted, because like, while it is good, it's not like it's been in too many decks that dominate. You know, like even the 3 wide range decks tend to play, you know, the Baby Blaster or now the LS1 cannon. So I think we could see it come back.
And we have just had a recently nice alt art version of it.
All right, that concludes the main segment of the show. And we are going to run right into the conclusion like we usually like to do here when we have a guest on. And that is with our shotgun questions. So, Bobby Sapphire, are you ready?
I am prepared for these shotgun questions.
First question, what is your favorite card in Star Wars Destiny?
My favorite card in Star Wars Destiny is Ray-2, Finding the Ways.
And what is your least favorite card in Star Wars Destiny?
My least favorite card is Grand Admiral Thrawn. No, it's Snoke. It's Snoke and Thrawn together. Yeah, I'll say Thrawn. I hate Thrawn. Get him out of here.
The Hyperloops loves to name decks. If you had to name Vader Greedo, what would you name it, not using the names on the cards?
Oh, what would I name Vader Greedo? Childhood best friends, right? Because they hung out on Tatooine together. That's what I would do. Childhood best friends. Best friends club.
And what about the deck you played at your last regionals, Qui-Gon Aayla?
Oh, I have to go like deep. I don't know, maybe something scandalous, like something about soft mitigation. So maybe something like, yeah, no, I don't want to go rated R on you guys. I don't know. Take the Shields. That's our backup website if Elon Musk ever buys the Hyperloops. So maybe just like taketheshields.com. That's not a very spicy answer, but that's all I got.
Last question. And this one is also for Sarah after you answer, Bobby. We know that we are getting a new draft pack. Who are you predicting to be the blue and yellow characters in it.
Oh, the blue and yellow characters. So they got to be neutral. Yellow, I could see them giving us a new Padme. And for blue, who's blue and neutral? What about like the Grand Inquisitor when he was a Jedi guard? I don't know. I can't think of like a good blue neutral character. They already, like, I think Quinlan Voss should have been blue neutral, but he's already done. So, and I don't think they're going to give us another Voss.
So for me, I think we've got a good chance of a blue being Ventress. It kind of looks like it could be her head if you squint at the box art. And she would fit the neutral aspect for part of her journey. As for the yellow, I have absolutely no idea, to be honest. I can't make out anything. And I'm thinking something, someone from the Senate maybe, but I really don't know. It's a tough one, thinking of a neutral. Or a bounty hunter, I suppose, if we've got any of those left. Maybe a new Bosk. We need a new Bosk.
Could be a new Django who's just trying to make his way in the universe.
Nice reference.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's like, you know, he was only a template for the clones. He just goes where he's hired. He's like a pretty perfect neutral character, even though he did, you know, kill a bunch of Jedi.
Yeah, you could kind of argue that any bounty hunter could be seen as neutral. So if they want to approach that space, then we could potentially have all the ones we've seen as villains become neutrals.
Yeah, there's also a ton of cool bounty hunters from the Clone Wars, which would be cool.
For me, I wonder if the yellow will be Chewie, because we heard about a neutral Chewie coming. It could be in the main set, but maybe it's in the rival set. You know, who knows? I mean, I'm thinking it's a possibility, even though I think it would be in the main set. Blue, I have to go with Sir. I actually have a little friendly bet going with somebody that is Ventress, and they think it's Dooku, so we will see. I think it looks like Ventress, the bounty hunter version, with her mask, so I guess we will see, so.
Yeah, I think we'll see Chewie in the... Isn't he on the side of the box?
He is, but Fett was on the side of the box of Empire at War along with others, so.
Yeah, I mean, he could be an event, I suppose, but I think he'll be in the new set rather than the new draft kit.
Oh, I do too. I just think it might be a possibility, you know? All right, it is now time to wrap things up. Thank you, Bobby Sapphire, for joining us for this wonderful conversation today.
Anytime. Happy to be here.
If people would like to contact you, where can they find you?
Well, I write for thehyperloops.com, so they can find me over there. And the best way to get a hold of me is probably via Facebook, just tagging me under my real name, Mike Gem, or just like sending a message to the Hyperloops, and I'll be happy to answer anything you got.
Sir, as always, I had a blast. If people would like to contact you, sir, where can they find you?
So you can usually find me on Facebook talking about tokens, or you can now find me in the Hyperloops Discord or on Twitter. I'm quite vocal on Twitter for both Destiny and work-related things. So that's under Miss Evans.
That concludes this episode of Ari Bell. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have been Jedi Geek Girl, and she has been Sarah. Until next time, Jedi Geek Girl, out.
This has been Ari Bell, a Star Wars Destiny podcast. I have been your host, Jedi Geek Girl. If you would like to contact me, please send me an email at iribelldestiny@gmail.com. And as always, may the Force be with you. Ivy Bell is an independent podcast, not associated with Lucasfilm, Disney, Fantasy Flight Games, or any other organization. All copyrights for Star Wars Destiny, and all other properties belong to the proper copyright holders.